Beer, Cheese, and Murder is a true crime podcast about Wisconsin from Wisconsin. Due to the nature of true crime, this podcast contains explicit and graphic content which may not be suitable for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to Beer, Cheese, and Murder. I'm Erica, and joining me are
Bonnie,
Dina,
and Jill.
Yep, so we're a little bit of a light crew tonight, but that's what happens when it's the most wonderful time of the year when cold and viruses are going around.
We hope Terry feels better soon.
Yeah, I really hope that we didn't give her anything from us, because I wasn't contagious by the time I saw her, but I did test positive for strep last week. So I'm on finishing up my dose of antibiotics, and then Sean went to urgent care yesterday and got the results back this morning that he's positive for strep.
Well, he hasn't been in by Jill in the office, I hope.
No, he usually doesn't come upstairs, but today we did lunch together, you know, like everyone, he bought lunch for everyone. And so we're all like, he kind of actually backed up. Usually he sits like belly upright to the table, and we're like, what the hell are you doing in here? Go outside and eat. And we were joking, obviously. He's like, yeah. Well, that's why I slid back a little bit.
Yeah.
If anybody has strep within a mile of me, I get it.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, anything throat. Yeah, it's just absolutely terrible.
Well, we got it because the kids, at least I'm pretty sure, didn't end up having to take them to the doctor to get them checked because it didn't get that bad. But yeah, I'm pretty sure they had impetigo, not strep throat. But apparently, so I learned this from Googling and the CDC website, apparently strep group A virus, or sorry, bacteria, because they're not the same. I have a medical microbiology and immunology maid of honor and friend in college, so she would kill me if I mix those up. Anyway, apparently that bacteria causes impetigo, strep throat, or streptococcus, whatever you want to call it, and scarlet fever. And apparently in kids ages 2 through 5, impetigo is more common, and then 5 to 15 for children, it's strep. And so, I don't know. So
you're
saying
impetigo? I always thought it was called impetigo, and then it was like a skin
maybe
disease.
Maybe.
Oh, okay.
It is like a skin. It reminded me of hand, foot, and mouth disease. But it's not, but yeah, so it's caused by the same bacteria. It just presents differently. So it's more common in kids to get, okay, apparently impetigo, so there I go. So I don't think they're going to get strep. I think they had, like, they got the bacteria and it presented as impetigo. And then because they had it, then Sean and I were exposed to the strep bacteria and we got strep throat as a result of it. But
good times.
Yep.
Tis the season.
On the mend. Yes. But yeah, so I really hope that Terry didn't get strep from us, but hopefully it's just a common cold because there's plenty of those going around. So for just the PSA for anyone who hasn't gotten your flu shot, get your flu shot.
I got mine in September, and I messaged Jill yesterday. I was going to be in the office yesterday. I go in a couple days a week and planned on being there in person yesterday for a meeting, and woke up and had a sore throat and cold. So I'm still battling it. My sore throat is actually better today, but I'm still battling the cold.
Yeah, there's lots of stuff going on around right now.
Yes.
So according to urgent care, they're seeing quite a few cases of the flu. So it's very, very big right now. All right. So anybody drinking or eating anything special tonight?
Well, because I have my cold that I'm trying to kick out, I am drinking a classic Wisconsin cocktail, a hot toddy. So, except I do mine with brandy instead of whiskey because I'm a Wisconsin girl.
Yep.
So it's just water, brandy, honey, and lemon. And I did use my local Wisconsin or my local Milwaukee honey, which I've actually featured previously, the Honeybee Sage and Wellness Apothecary in Milwaukee. They've got some really delicious, pure neighborhood honey. So I've got that honey in here and it's nice and hot and delicious. And hopefully it kicks my cold out. It's a very Wisconsin thing to do to add alcohol to your cocktail or add to alcohol to your cold, water to make
well,
it feel
see,
better.
The thing is that in order to get better, you need a good night's sleep. And so that little nightcap, if you will, of alcohol helps knock you out so that you can sleep.
Gives you that kick to go to sleep.
Yeah.
I hope so.
I feel like my parents may have given us hot toddies when we were kids and we just never knew there was alcohol in it.
Well, you know the story about my dad and his milk drinks, right?
Yeah.
Did we talk about this? Okay. Yeah.
I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast, but I know about it.
I don't know that I know it.
Oh my gosh. So dad would make White Russians for him and Ginny. And he would make them for Sean and Kayla, the kitty version, and they would call it a milk drink. He just wouldn't put in the vodka, but he was still putting in the Kahlua. Still putting in the Kahlua. He didn't think that Kahlua had it's very weak, I think, but he seriously was doing that, like totally clueless.
Well,
let's have a milk drink, Dad. No wonder he kept giving it to him.
Right.
Oh, they just go to bed so easy after they have that nice little milk drink.
You are talking about the man who had a old-fashioned fountain his wedding.
Yes.
Where a bunch of kids got drunk.
Oh, yes. Our nephew.
From what I heard.
Cousin Jerry.
Cousin Jerry, yeah.
Yeah, because they thought it was punch. Yeah.
Well, I mean, we drank our fair share, too, and I think I was 14 or 15, I definitely shouldn't have been drinking it either, but it was readily accessible.
So good, yeah.
Another Wisconsin knockout, the cold, old wives' tale, is a shot of blackberry brandy. I know actually some people that do that as well. I just don't happen to have any at my house because that would be the only time I would drink it.
Right, exactly.
Tasty.
So I think I may have said this on one of the podcasts, but another thing, when I was up north, when I was, I don't know, maybe preteen, I couldn't have been, I don't think I was 15 because by then I was already drinking on my own. Probably maybe 13 or something, and I had a cold and my dad gave me a shot of blackberry. Oh, take this will clear your sinuses out, do this.
Yep.
And I had no idea what was going on, and I don't know, I think grandpa might have been there and they were all laughing like, oh, oh, oh. Oh yeah, that tastes good. Oh yeah, I can feel my sinuses clearing.
I think my grandpa was like horseradish to clear your sinuses.
Oh, that'll
really?
Do it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's I guess I would be curious if people outside of Wisconsin listening, if they do the blackberry brandy or hot toddy, because I know that
brandy.
Those are both very Wisconsin. So curious if it is an outside of Wisconsin thing as well.
Just the brandy alone makes it more likely to just be Wisconsin since we consume most of it. So I have a beverage and I had a snack, which I've already consumed. But so just to throw our listeners for a loop, I'm actually drinking a non-alcoholic Wisconsin beverage tonight. So
to throw them for a loop.
should start with a confession in that the last few recordings, I've been highlighting alcoholic beverages, but I actually haven't been consuming them because there will be a third little Zocker coming next year. So for the next few episodes, I will be, or I guess I don't know how many really, however many we do before that happens, I will be drinking non-alcoholic. But thankfully, Wisconsin has quite a few non-alcoholic options to highlight. So perfect time to do that. So tonight,
well, I'll get my butt to the store and start getting some new Wisconsin beers because I keep finding some that I want to try and I just haven't gone and picked any up yet. So I have to do that. So I'll step in and start doing some of the beers for you.
I'll find some Wisconsin wines. That'll be fun.
I have tasted the beers. I just made Sean drink it and then I would just snag a sip of it. And then so that's why I was kind of limited in what I could select. I had to pick something that he would actually drink. but so tonight I'm actually drinking a Calypso Ocean Blue Lemonade. I actually got the light version. So they do have regular lemonade and then they have light for those that are more caloric conscious, so I really don't need to drink all that many calories, but so it is a Calypso Ocean Blue Lemonade, which it says in there, so it's from the King Juice Company Inc., which more commonly known here in Wisconsin is Calypso, is the brand. So it's out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. This particular flavor itself was created in 2010. And it states on their website, some say if you hold a big seashell to your ear, you can hear the ocean waves crashing. JoJo says, hold an ocean blue lemonade to your mouth instead. It's a whole tidal wave of blue raspberry flavor that you can hear with your taste buds. And it's loud. So, I don't know. I have had Calypso lemonade in the past, and it's actually very good.
Yeah.
So I'll say a little bit more off the website just about the background of the company. So it says the original and now famous Calypso lemonade recipe was created in 1985 in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, by the owner of the King Juice Company, Inc. The idea was simple: make an authentic, delicious lemonade made with real lemons and real sugar. We made the lemonade in small batches and delivered it locally on the company truck. Through the years, our original lemonade grew in popularity, bolstered by the response to our lemonade recipe and inspired by the fruits, flavors, and spirit of the islands. Our original lemonade was given the name Calypso in 2000 and grew into four lemonade blends. Fast forward to 2018, the island's inspiration was brought to life even more with new watercolor graphics and island foliage. Over a dozen lemonade, limeade, and zero sugar combinations are now available, all based on our original lemonade recipe.
A dozen?
Yeah. Each Calypso flavor is made with a focus on quality, using real lemon bits and natural flavors. From our family to yours, enjoy a taste of the islands and be your island self.
I wish I was on an island right now instead of in cold ass Wisconsin with a cold.
Freezing. But yeah, so for those that are listening, though Kayla is not with us tonight, a fun fact is that one of her best friends that she's still very good friends with today, but a best friend of hers from like high school and growing up, is actually the daughter of the founder of Calypso Lemonade.
Or King Juice, yeah.
Yeah, the owner, yeah. The daughter of the owner. So it's very near and dear to our heart in terms of, I guess, the connection to this brand. So I think it's good a stuff. Perfect thing to highlight for my first non-alcoholic beverage. All right, so then to go with that, I kind of stuck true to the cheese of beer, cheese, and murder. So I got some, I'm probably going to butcher this, Bel Gioioso, sharp provolone, and Asiago cheeses. There's a lot of O's in there.
Yeah, right.
Belgioso.
Gioioso.
You're right. There is Gioioso. And then it's Asiago. So you got all those.
Yeah.
There's a lot of vowels.
Yeah.
E-I-E-I-O.
Yeah, you really have a lot of vowels here.
A lot of vowels. Yeah. So I have had their Asiago cheese before. It's actually very good. And even the kids will eat that up. And then I opted to try their sharp provolone as well. So normally I've eaten provolone on sandwiches. I've not necessarily eaten it by itself, but it's actually not that bad. It actually has a similar flavor profile, I want to say, to the Asiago, a little bit different. So they actually work quite well together. But so Bel Gioioso is out of
That's literally what it looks like. I thought, well, maybe I can pronounce this. Nope.
Nope.
I'm probably saying it wrong too, but it's out of Denmark, Wisconsin, which I was going to look up where that is.
Green Bay. Near Green Bay.
Yeah.
It is?
Yep. I had friends in college that were around there. I mean, within a half hour, I want to say Green Bay.
It's in Brown County, so
yeah, it is close. It's fairly close to Green Bay.
1,123 people, but that was as of the 2010 census.
It looks like it's about halfway between Green Bay and Manitowoc.
Okay, yeah,
pretty close. So, but that's what I had tonight.
Numbing.
I love provolone cheese.
Indeed.
It's the perfect Sammy cheese.
Oh my gosh, that's another thing. Like when it's cold and when you don't feel good, like perfect pairing, grilled cheese and tomato soup, like the hot tomato soup, warms you up.
One of my faves.
Haven't had it in ages either. And I do love that.
I don't have bread currently, but I have tomato soup in my cupboard all the time because sometimes I just, not all the time, all winter.
Oh, okay.
So it's just something I definitely need every now and then. And when Erica made the grilled cheese the other week, I thought, ooh, I have to make a grilled cheese Sammy with that.
Yeah, it's actually
only way to go.
It's very rare for me to make a grilled cheese without tomato soup, but we didn't have tomato soup, so that's why I did it without it. But like, they just go together. They just have to go together.
I dip the sandwich right in the soup.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Sean thinks I'm crazy. He eats them separately. I think he's the weird one.
He's the weird one.
Yes. Well, isn't Sean the one who won't let anything touch on his plate?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like veggies can't touch the meat, can't touch the rice or whatever. Yeah.
You should see my dad at Thanksgiving. He eats one thing at a time. Literally.
Oh, really?
What?
He eats all of his turkey and then he puts some stuffing on his plate and he eats that. I'm like,
oh my gosh.
And I mush it all together.
I do too. I know turkey, or I should say Thanksgiving is a rough time of year for Sean because everything like usually ends up going together. And like he always finishes before me. So he just sits there watching me eat and I like literally mix everything together. And he's like, that is so disgusting. And I'm like, I think it's delicious.
Only way to go. Only way to go.
I wonder if that's a trait of serial killers. Eat it all separately. No, like just string cheese.
I mean, my dad also eats the string cheese by just it like a serial killer. So
all right, I found
another characteristic.
I don't think he's a serial killer, but he's starting to make me wonder here with some of the treats.
All right. Well, speaking of the cold weather, today's Wisco fact is about the coldest temperature ever recorded in Wisconsin history.
Okay. Can we guess?
Sure. Go for it.
Is this just actual temperature, not with wind chill?
I think it's actual temperature.
I'm going to go minus 28.
Any other guesses?
I'm going to say minus 30.
Bonnie?
Uh,
Minus 35.
Whoa. All right. Let's okay. see where we place.
All right. So this article was on wearegreenbay.com from February of this year, actually 2022. And the headline says 26 years ago, Wisconsin records its coldest temperature ever. And it says winters are often described as brutal in Wisconsin. Some years are worse than others. To start the month of February in 1996, the most brutally cold temperature was ever recorded in the state of Wisconsin. The village of Couderay lies in Sawyer County in Wisconsin. Clear skies on the night of February 3rd, 1996, allowed temperatures to drop across much of the Midwest. On February 4th, 1996, Couderay recorded a temperature of negative 55.
Holy shit! Oh my
gosh.
I was trying not to be ridiculous with my number, but that's
what I was thinking.
Ridiculous.
Wow. Because I would always think it was like, oh, with the wind chill, that makes it. You know,
no. It says this is the lowest temperature recorded in Wisconsin state history.
That's cold.
Yeah. And it said, overall, the Arctic blast from the end of January into the start of February set nearly 400 record lows in that stretch, according to the National Weather Service.
Oh, my God.
So that was a really cold year.
I guess.
It says, during this period, Green Bay had high temperatures below zero for five consecutive days, starting January 31st, 1996, the lowest temperature recorded during this Arctic blast in Green Bay was negative 28
hey!
On February 3rd.
Goodbye, big
Is that what I said?
No, that was Dina.
Dina said 28. I said 30. Yeah. Okay. Yep. Said 35. Okay.
Yep. And it says, although this was a historic cold stretch, Green Bay actually recorded its coldest temperature ever at negative 36 on January 21st, 1888.
Wow.
Jeez.
Didn't we have the cold stretch a few years ago because my yes. office was closed, the courthouse yes. was closed.
I feel like
and we I did, think it yeah. was from cold. It was 2 or 3 days.
It was a couple of years ago because I remember people being concerned about being able to get their car started, like once right. they got to work.
Yeah,
to go home.
Courthouse to close and like offices downtown and stuff to close. Without really having snow, I was like, wow, that's.
Yeah, it was cold. And I don't think we closed down because unless the bus system closes down, our company stays open. But I think a number of people did work from home or stay home because of the cold weather from a transportation concern with getting their own vehicles to start.
You might be standing out waiting for a bus in that cold. That's for
no
sure.
No kidding. Well, I remember like UW-Madison is the notorious for not having snow days. There was one snow day when I was there, and it's because it snowed like 18 or 17 inches in one night. It was like ridiculous. But there was definitely some days, like there was a stretch where it was like with the wind chill, it was like negative like 20, you know, 10 to 20 degrees out, and we're still going to class. You got a bunch of kids yeah. walking this, you know, to class.
And huge campus. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, huge campus. Was that 2011 when campus was
no.
closed?
I think it was 2009 or 2010. It was, okay. I think it was that year. It was like my senior year.
There was a blizzard of 2011, and that was the first time that I ever had a job close because mm-hmm. of snow, because we got I think 17 inches of snow.
Yeah, there were a couple years there in a row we had like one really good like 17 18 inch snow in the Milwaukee area, but this yeah
that much.
And then you get people that'll complain that they're paying for their college education and the school closed down, so then it ruins it for everyone so that they Jesus. Don't have any snow days anymore. Well, in these days, with especially post-COVID, with increasing capability for virtual like learning.
Yeah.
I mean, the chances of having an actual snow day where there's no class at all seems pretty slim.
Yeah, I think.
Sad days. The day of the snow days in the past.
Yeah.
All right. So this week I'm kind of broaching the episode differently. So when it comes to crime, one topic that we haven't really touched on that is far more prevalent than and often connected to murder is drugs. So I'm sure Wisconsin isn't the first place that comes to mind when you think about an area with a drug problem, but the sad reality is that drugs are a problem everywhere. To me, it often seems like a silent epidemic, something that I mentally keep on the peripherals, as I myself don't do drugs, have never done drugs, and want nothing to do with them. But even so, it has touched my life. I have had family and friends that have fallen victim to addiction, and I've seen far too many Facebook posts about people that I went to school with succumbing to their addictions and dying far too young.
Yeah.
It's just a reality of today. So that's what we're talking about today.
Okay.
Such a bright, cheery topic.
Yeah. Right? It is very cheery.
Well, just like murder isn't always so bright and cheery, I guess. But all right. So to kind of get us started, I'm going to start with some more generic national kind of statistics or higher level statistics. So this is from the Lexinter Law Directory, and it's a brief overview of the latest drug trafficking statistics in 2022, and it was published in April 7th of this year. So it says here, statistics on the extent of crime are notoriously behind. For instance, the most recent complete information that is available on drug trafficking statistics is from 2020, with a few preliminary 2021 reports. So we're here in 2022 when we're still not quite seeing the full picture of it. What the data shows is that drug trafficking in the U.S. is down in some types of substances, but up in others. Most drugs come into the U.S. either by sea or by land through the southern border of the U.S. The top five federal districts for drug trafficking cases include Southern District of California, Western District of Texas, Northern District of Texas, Southern District of Texas, and the District of Puerto Rico. So Texas has it rough.
Yeah.
Most of the drugs that are trafficked through these areas come from Mexican drug cartels. However, there are opioids that are trafficked into the U.S. via mail. These drugs often come from China or other Asian countries. So, and I will say that Sean really likes watching the Border Patrol reality shows. I forget what channel it's on, like Nat Geo or whatever. And like just watching some of these people, some of them are like in truly desperate situations, just trying to make some money. But like some of the stuff, it's like, it's just not worth the risk. It's just not worth it.
To me, none of it would be worth it.
It really isn't. It really isn't. So it says, what types of drugs are trafficked? The most common types of drugs that are trafficked in the U.S. include methamphetamine, crack cocaine, powder cocaine, marijuana, heroin, fentanyl, and OxyContin. And all of these sound terrifying, minus the marijuana, I suppose. But fentanyl is one that's definitely becoming very scary.
Yeah.
Well, and I know you say that about marijuana, but I feel like in recent years, that's even known to be laced with other stuff.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's the thing. Yeah.
Not that I was ever into that, but yeah, like back in the day, I mean, it's always been illegal, and
it's different than it used to be.
Yes, from it's what absolutely different. Like, you have to be so careful nowadays. Like,
now it's even more common than I think what it was. Like it would be PCP was like back in the day,
you know,
like,
or something. Yeah.
That's why I wish that they would just legalize it everywhere. Not because I do it, because I don't. And everyone that knows me, I don't even want to be around it. So it might be worse if it is legal, but at the same time, like, people are dying for like the smallest amount of drug.
Yeah. And I mean, I never even tried it. I'm like a control freak, so I don't think I could handle it from that standpoint. Like, I don't even like getting drunk from that perspective. Like, I'll drink alcohol, absolutely, but a little buzz and I'm good, because I can't handle not being in full control.
I don't know when I get my little buzz compared to when I get my big buzz. So I just normally keep going. By the time I realize I keep rolling, buzz, I'm like, mashed.
Keep rolling.
But yeah, I mean, I had to do training on this for work, for like being able to recognize the symptoms of drug, you know, abuse and stuff like that. And I want to say it was from that training, but it could have been from a different article, that it basically states that the way that marijuana was produced like 50 years ago, 40 years ago, 30 years ago is different than it is produced now, that it's been like refined to be far more potent than it used to be. So like, it's just like, it's stronger than like the people that were like hippies smoking marijuana. It's very different than that.
Yeah.
All right. So it says, with the exception of opioids, which often come via mail, most of these drugs are trafficked into the country via land. The numbers of meth trafficking offenders and fentanyl trafficking offenders both increased between 2016 and 2020. For meth, the increase was nearly 14%, and for fentanyl, a whopping increase of nearly 2,000%.
Wow.
That's
holy shnikes.
The number of both powder cocaine, crack cocaine, and the crack cocaine decreased by 22.8% and 30.3% respectively, as did heroin, 33.2%, and oxycodone, 47.5%, and marijuana, 67.3%. So that's perhaps a positive of them moving towards legalization of marijuana, is that the amount of illegal trafficking is going down quite a bit. But those numbers are very scary, especially the fentanyl. Isn't, I believe fentanyl is like an opioid.
Yeah, and the smallest amount can kill you.
Right, and so that tells me if heroin is going down, they're replacing it with fentanyl, which is far more potent.
Well, and isn't fentanyl what they give if you had a heroin overdose?
No.
What's
methadone if you're an addict.
No,
it's something with
Narcan.
Narcan, that's what I'm thinking. Okay, so fentanyl is the one, like, if you even get a whiff of it, like, I think, like, police officers and whatnot,
it's,
like,
it's
if there's little baggies.
Yeah, it's really bad.
Seriously.
Well, and, like, the thing
and
that scares
like the
me.
Stickers.
They, like, make it look like candy. Like, that gets in the wrong hands. That's just terrifying. Anyway. In 2020,
this Halloween, that they were saying,
yes,
that
oh my god,
fentanyl. And I'm like, but why? Like, you're not making money off of it, so why waste your drugs to try to kill kids?
They're so doped up, they don't realize they're doing it. Otherwise, they'd be losing money anyway. Yeah, so that scares me about letting my kids go trick or treating. So in 2020, drug trafficker, oh, it says, interesting. So it says, in 2020, drug traffickers are, I think, mostly men. In fact, less than 20% are women. Almost 44% are Hispanic, and they were, on average, 37 years old. 80% were U.S. citizens, and over 42% of them had no criminal history.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
actually
rather surprising.
Well, that just means they haven't been caught.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but for something like running drugs, or you know, just you know, I don't know if it's distribution or if they're making them or whatever, but
yeah,
I think you have pretty good odds of getting caught.
So about 25% have weapons along with the drugs, resulting in increased sentences, and about 6% had a supervisory role in the offense, which also increased their sentence.
So they like higher up than just the person who's like on the corner or something. Is that what that means? Supervisory position?
Yeah, I don't know that there was somehow.
I didn't know there was a supervisor in drug trafficking.
Right.
Somebody's got to be the head of that cartel.
Yeah.
I wonder if you apply for that or if you
You either somebody gets arrested and put in jail to open a spot, or somebody gets overdoses, or somebody gets killed.
You're like, you know what, boss? I've been on the bottom here for a really long time. I'm interested in taking on a more supervisory role.
Yeah.
I can break knees better than anyone else.
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay, so drug trafficking is a federal offense, and as a result, offenders face very stiff penalties. According to the United States Sentencing Commission, the average sentence for drug trafficking in 2020 was 61 months, or just over 5 years in prison. The average sentence length varies depending on the substance being trafficked. On the high end, methamphetamine traffickers received an average sentence of 95 months in prison, while on the low end, marijuana traffickers received an average sentence of only 29 months in prison.
What's 93 months? Like
If you're facing these charges, you need a drug trafficking attorney. Do not try to navigate the legal system on your own. It just says, for most people, drug trafficking is nothing more than a second thought when you hear a news story. However, if you live in one of these areas of the U.S., you may be very familiar with drug trafficking and drugs coming over the U.S. border. You may also be familiar if you found yourself involved in a drug trafficking operation. And it says, if this is the case, seek legal representation immediately.
Don't call me.
Let them not have a good defense.
Right?
Spend more
yeah.
time.
Yeah. Well, and so one thing too is, so like when you're pregnant, you can't, you're very restricted on what medications you can take to ensure that it's safe for the baby. So in this time of year, colds and all that stuff,
yeah.
The only thing it can really take is Sudafed, non-PE. And yeah. You have to go to the pharmacy to get it. Yep. They keep it behind the counter because it's actually used
for years.
You've been having to like give your ID and it's all locked up and they've been trying to crack down.
Yeah.
But it's actually, I think it works better, one, when you have like really bad sinus issues, and two, it's generally cheaper than the PE, even though it's kept behind the counter.
Yeah.
But you can only get X number of pills at a time. So when you go into the pharmacy, you can only get one. So buy the over-the-counter stuff as well.
Yeah, and they do have like the generic versions as well, which is fine. But all right, so that's some kind of higher level statistics. And now I'm going to dive a little bit more into some specifics around Wisconsin. So this next site that I found and the information here it's outdated. It's from May 2001. But I still think it is interesting information, more so because it kind of talks about how drugs are trafficked through Wisconsin specifically. So it's not one of those border states, obviously, but drugs make it all the way up into the country. And so it's kind of interesting to see how that works, like within the state. So it says,
and we're giving this information for information for informative purposes only, and not so that we can help you figure out how to do your drug.
No, we are not promoting.
Yes, drugs. You're gonna get busted.
If anything, this is more so that you have awareness, not that you think that we have no drug problem in Wisconsin. Because I mean, as a parent, it's definitely something that's on my radar because I want to make sure that my kids are safe as they're growing up. But yeah, so this is more just for information purposes only. But anyway, so here it states, Milwaukee is the 17th largest city in the United States. Its importance as a leading transportation hub and distribution center for legitimate goods mirrors its position in the drug trade, in part because of its geographic location and multifaceted transportation infrastructure. Milwaukee is the strategic center for the transportation and distribution of drugs in Wisconsin.
Wow. Lucky me living here.
Yeah. The most common means that transporters use to ship drugs into Milwaukee are private and rental vehicles, commercial trucks, package delivery services, air package services, or couriers on commercial flights and railways. So
what does that even exclude?
Yeah, that doesn't exclude anything. Train, no railways,
no ships.
Yeah,
no
I mean, ships. you're not going by that point, you're not going through Border Patrol. So the chances of getting caught with something hidden are probably less likely. Drugs transported by vehicles concealed in shipments of legitimate goods or shipped via mail or package services have an excellent chance of reaching their destination because of the sheer volume of vehicles, parcels, and rail cars that transit the state on a daily basis. Milwaukee is an important center for processing land freight. More than 50 commercial truck carriers and a variety of independent trucking firms operate from Milwaukee. These firms could provide drug trafficking organizations with ready access to the eastern part of the country, as well as to Canada and Mexico. So I guess it's awareness, because I think part of it too is like, again, you don't think of Wisconsin for there being an issue with drugs, but the reality is drugs are everywhere. And if you think that, oh, they're going to get caught, that's unfortunately not always true. All right. So, man, fun stuff here. Milwaukee's interconnected highway system facilitates the transport of drugs into Wisconsin, not only from the southwest border of the United States, but also from the east and west coasts. I mean, we are centrally located. Milwaukee and suburban Milwaukee County are located at the intersections of Interstates 94 and 43. These interstates link Milwaukee directly to Chicago, Illinois, and Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minnesota. St. Paul and Milwaukee, as well as between Chicago and Milwaukee. Milwaukee is linked to the rest of Wisconsin by the interstate system. Interstate 94 West from Milwaukee connects to Madison, the state capital. Continuing west, Interstate 94 connects with Interstate 90 to La Crosse, and so on and so forth. So essentially, it's got all the connections to everything. So if you're going to then distribute to different areas, that's the place to go.
I feel like, especially because we're so close to Chicago, which is, you know, an international port, you know, like flight wise and everything. So I feel that's part of it being that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it goes into more detail of like the different ports and points of entry and how the infrastructure really helps to support it, unfortunately. And then it says, Madison is a secondary distribution center for the state, primarily to cities in central and western Wisconsin, such as Appleton, Beloit, Eau Claire, and Wausau. Madison is Wisconsin's capital and home to the University of Wisconsin with over 40,000 students. And again, the interstate system, so I-90, a major east-west route connecting directly with Chicago and ending in Seattle, Washington, as well as State Route 151, which connects to I-90, pass through Madison, providing drug trafficking organizations, which they dub DTOs, easy access to the city as well as other areas of the state.
DTOs.
Yeah. So, all right. Then it kind of talks about like gang activity in relation to drugs.
Oh, yeah. I'm curious about that.
Yeah. So this is fun. Okay.
I would think it. It's got to be over half, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be a lot. Yeah. Ooh. Okay. So African American and Hispanic street gangs, particularly organized street gangs such as the Gangster Disciples, yeah, Vice Lords, and Latin, yeah, Kings, mm-hmm, dominate the street level distribution of most drugs, particularly crack cocaine. According to it, which has, into more recent times, crack cocaine has gone down. According to a 1999 Wisconsin Division of Narcotics Enforcement report, the Gangster Disciples distributes drugs in 22 Wisconsin counties, the Latin Kings in 19, and the Vice Lords in 11.
Okay, I've never heard of this gang.
And you've heard what? I lived in Madison.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, no, I've never heard of that one.
Yeah,
wow.
We're big. Yeah. Gangster Disciples, like, huge. Yeah. Vice Lord does. I remember the women, like, their ladies are called the Lady Lords.
Oh, boy.
I remember that.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's, I remember all that stuff from when we were in high school.
Wow.
These
and
gangs,
that goes way back.
That goes way back.
These gangs survive financially through the sale and distribution of drugs. Most federal, state, and local law enforcement agencies in Wisconsin cite the violent crime associated with the gang-related drug distribution as a serious criminal threat to the state. Violent crime associated with these street gangs is increasing in suburban and rural areas as they expand to other markets.
That's scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the Gangster Disciples, the largest Chicago-based street gang, has been identified in over 40 states across the nation. In Wisconsin, the gang sells drugs primarily in low-income urban areas. Most Gangster Disciples members are African-American. Most of the Gangster Disciple gangs operating in Wisconsin were locally organized and took the name of the national organization to increase profits and intimidate other gangs. They do not pay dues to Chicago and are not recognized as part of the Gangster Disciple Nation by the national gangs, which is really crazy to think of them as being that organized.
I was just gonna like say that, like, wow, talk about like the mafia and organized crime. I always thought that gangs were like, I don't want to say less than, but like not as organized as,
sounds like a
mafia
union.
And this makes it sound like, I mean, shoot, I can apply for supervisor.
Right. Like I said, it sounds like a union. Okay. Their drug sources are primarily through Chicago, but not necessarily from the Gangster Disciples. They will buy drugs from any source available, which, yeah, okay. The Vice Lords in Wisconsin are essentially a local drug dealing organization, is not affiliated with the Vice Lords national organization in Chicago. The Vice Lords in Milwaukee is one of the African American gangs that controls the north side of the city. It receives its drug supply primarily through Chicago, but not necessarily from the Vice Lords. Members will buy its drugs from any source available. Again, yeah, this is why you don't do drugs and you don't trust, right, drug dealers.
They don't even care where they get them from. Like that.
They don't. All they care, like, about is making money.
Right. Yeah. They're like, screw it. We can get them from here. Let's do it.
Yeah. The Latin Kings, also known as the Almighty Latin King Nation, is a predominantly Hispanic street gang. It is made up of over 70 factions that operate under an overall leadership structure. Members have expanded their drug trafficking throughout the state and nation. So it sounds like they're the most organized. Oh my goodness. It says gang-related violence in Wisconsin has risen over the past 10 years, and I'm sure it's only gone up since, considering we break, yeah, the record for murders in Milwaukee every year, which can be attributed in part to the rise in gang-related drug distribution throughout the state. The nature of the drug problem in Wisconsin varies by area. The primary drug threats in eastern and central Wisconsin are the availability, distribution, and abuse of powdered and crack cocaine. So again, this is where it kind of gets a bit outdated, because my guess is these days is that opioids really are number one on the market. And it says here, the increasing availability of high purity heroin and the number of new users represents a secondary problem, particularly in the Milwaukee area. Marijuana remains the most readily available and most widely abused drug throughout Wisconsin. Methamphetamine production and use are expanding from the neighboring states of Iowa and Minnesota into northwestern and southwestern Wisconsin. Drugs such as MDMA, LSD, and GHB are becoming increasingly popular, particularly among young people in urban areas and in college towns. So, and in case you didn't know, drug abuse is a significant health, social, public safety, and economic problem in Wisconsin.
Yes, and probably almost everywhere. Drug abuse. Yeah.
And this is outdated information because this is from 20 years ago. So it says state sources estimate that there are 390,000 drug abusers in Wisconsin and that more than 60,000 residents received publicly funded treatment for drug abuse in 1998.
More than what?
60,000 residents received publicly funded treatment for drug abuse in 1998. God.
Damn. Imagine that number now.
Well, yeah. I'd like to know the outcome. You know, are these people, yeah. did it work, or is it the chronic?
It's more chronic. It's really
exactly. That's why I was curious. Like,
it's pretty rough.
It's hard to, right.
Yeah. So statewide prison statistics show that 67% of new inmates between 1997 and 1998 were identified as needing drug treatment. So again, that's where your tax dollars are going, right? The Wisconsin Department of Corrections indicated that this number varies between 60 and 80% of new inmates from year to year.
Wow.
It's like, says something a lot there about... Okay. According to the Wisconsin Department of Health and Human Services, substance abuse is the fourth leading cause of death in Wisconsin after heart disease, cancer, and stroke.
Oh, wow. Jeez.
For example, the Wisconsin Department of Health and Family Services indicates a significant increase in drug abuse, poisoning, and dependency deaths from 1975 to 1997, which has more than likely only exponentially gone up. More than 800 documented deaths and more than 90,000 arrests attributable to drug abuse were reported in Wisconsin in 1998. Yeah. So, and it's an expensive one too. So social costs associated with drug abuse in Wisconsin are significant. The state spent an estimated $2.7 billion to fight drug abuse and ancillary problems in 1997. Of which almost 70% was spent fighting crime.
Wow.
70% fighting
crime. Yeah, $1.89 billion of the money spent on drug abuse was going towards crime associated with it. So, and that is, I mean, this is 1998, and so that's 20 years ago. It's only gone up. Has only gone up.
For sure.
Sadly.
Oh,
and I'm right. Sure younger ages as well.
Yeah. So I do have, so that's kind of Wisconsin. It's a little bit outdated information, but it does give some insight as to like Wisconsin specifically and some of the things impacting us. I don't think it's changed too much, except for that the numbers have gone up. I did also want to very quickly touch on this, just because when you're talking about substance abuse and addiction, people tend to overlook alcohol, but that is one that is definitely a part of the conversation. So just a little bit of information on alcohol use in Wisconsin. Obviously, it is legal and to a certain, well, in certain instances, right? And then as long as you're using it appropriately. So the fact is, however, that alcohol is the most commonly used addictive substance in Wisconsin. Most adults who drink alcohol do so in moderation without negative health effects. But for others, alcohol harms their health, and alcohol-related problems are among the top public health issues in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all. Yeah. We are literally a community that is just run by alcohol.
Yeah. With
breweries and distilleries, and it's just part of the Wisconsin culture, right, for sure.
Oh, and if you do
as,
it.
As I sip on my red wine during beer, cheese, and murder.
But there's nothing, I guess the point though, is that there's nothing wrong with it if you do so responsibly. It's when people let it get out of hand. So let's, excessive drinking. What constitutes excessive drinking? So excessive drinking includes binge drinking and heavy alcohol use. Binge drinking is drinking so much alcohol at once that there is 0.08% or more alcohol in your blood. For most men, this means drinking 5 or more standard drinks within a few hours. And for most women, this means drinking 4 or more standard drinks within a few hours. So it doesn't take much to constitute binge drinking. Heavy alcohol use is having more than 4 standard drinks in one day for men, or more than 3 standard drinks in one day for women. Excessive drinking can harm your health. Binge drinking raises your risk of injuries, car crashes, and alcohol poisoning. It can also put you at risk of being violent or experiencing violence.
Well, I'm glad that even though there's some binge drinking happening there every now and then, I'm not an excessive drinker, because I certainly don't drink every day. And even if I did, I wouldn't have 3 or more every day. I have like one to 2 days a week.
Well, yeah. I feel better about the part about the violence. I'm a happy drunk.
I'm a happy excessive.
I'm not an angry abusive.
Heavy alcohol.
Yeah, people definitely react differently, for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Heavy alcohol use for a long time can cause alcohol use disorder, liver diseases such as cirrhosis and fatty liver disease, heart diseases, and increased risk for certain cancers. That's an interesting one. And an increased risk of injuries, because it does impact your balance, that's for sure. All right, so then here's a fun fact. Wisconsin ranks 3rd in the country for the percent of adults who currently drink alcohol. So we are actually outranked, if you will, by Washington, D.C. and New Hampshire, but we are 3.
And those are really small places.
Yeah. More Wisconsin adults report current alcohol use in the past 30 days than the U.S. average. When Wisconsin adults drink, they drink more often and have more alcohol than adults in other states. They drink an average of 2.6 standard drinks when they drink. And only 37.9% of Wisconsin adults who binge drink think they put themselves at risk.
Huh.
Let's see. Youth in Wisconsin aren't binge drinking more than the U.S. average youth, so that's good. They are binge drinking, but just not more than the average. Wisconsin youth think binge drinking is less risky than youth across the nation, so that's not good. We need to educate them a little bit more on that one. And then people who start binge drinking before age 15 are 4 times more likely to meet criteria for alcohol dependence at some point in their lives. Drinking alcohol also interferes with brain development.
Wait, so that shot of blackberry brandy, that's what did me in?
That wasn't binge drinking. That was a shot
of blackberry. No, but I mean, the fact that I tasted, because I thought that the risk of someone becoming addictive or tending towards drinking increased substantially if the person had tasted alcohol prior to, I want to say, age 13.
I don't know. I don't know about those.
Yeah, I've heard that. I don't know, but
yeah. So
it is something that is like in your brain though. So somebody can be an alcoholic and they've never had a cocktail. Like, I mean, there are some people that don't drink for that reason because it is hereditary, as we know. Sure.
Certainly can be. So I mean,
it is an actual addiction. Having a problem and being an alcoholic are also like different.
Yeah.
You know, the problem in Wisconsin, no, I shouldn't say the problem, but drinking in Wisconsin is such the norm that mm-hmm. even during COVID, when everything was shutting down all over the place and all over the country, Wisconsin maintained liquor stores as being like they stayed open.
Necessity. Yeah, what did they call it?
Well, and we figured out a way to be able to have people take their drinks to go as well and not just food.
Yeah.
They said it was because it was high risk of people going through withdrawals.
Oh my God, really?
For real?
That's why they said that it was essential for liquor stores to stay open.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because most places did not have them open.
Oh,
I guess I didn't realize. Wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
All right. So I did want to not just overwhelm everybody with facts. Here's the sad thing. So I have a variety of, they're very quick, news stories about drug busts in Wisconsin. And I had quite a few to choose from, all just from this year. So all of my articles are from 2022.
Unlike some of your Wisco facts and stuff in the past, right?
Yeah. So, I double checked.
Like, oh, there's a basketball. Crap, it was a year ago.
I double checked the headlines. But yes, so that's, I guess, a statement alone of the drug problem in Wisconsin, the fact that all of these stories are from this year. But they're fairly quick stories, but it kind of shows the variety of things that we face. So I will read through them. Okay, so first one is from January 23rd of this year, from WEAU 13 News. And this headline is, overdose investigation leads to large drug bust in Wisconsin. This is in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Authorities say an 11-month investigation that began with a drug overdose in southeastern Wisconsin has netted 106 pounds of cocaine with an estimated street value up to $6 million. The Kenosha County Sheriff's Department says the probe led them to a large drug trafficking organization based in Pleasant Prairie, and several people were arrested. Police believe the dealers were operating primarily in Wisconsin and Illinois, but had ties throughout the United States and Mexico. The cocaine that was seized tested positive for the powerful painkiller fentanyl. So, the case began in February when deputies who used an antidote to save a person's life during a drug overdose began looking for the source of the drugs. So that, again, shows you just how dangerous this is, because they will cut drugs like cocaine with other drugs like fentanyl, which are extremely dangerous, and they will use any source that they can. And the people buying these who have an addiction are going to take it and not realize just how terrible it is, or that they're putting their own lives at risk.
Yeah, okay. You don't know what you're going to get if it's not regulated in any way.
Okay, so the next article was from June 9th of this year. So this is from Care 11. And it says police seized over $1 million worth of street drugs in La Crosse. So a police drug bust in western Wisconsin uncovered over $1 million in illegal drugs, five guns, and $5,953 in cash, according to a post on the City of La Crosse's website. On Monday, officers arrested a 26-year-old man as part of an ongoing drug investigation. Police conducted a search warrant on the man's vehicle and at 627 Powell Street in La Crosse. While searching that address, officers found a lease contract for a storage unit. Officers obtained another search warrant for the 10-foot by 10-foot storage unit and uncovered it was used as a pill press laboratory, according to city officials. Over 135 pounds of counterfeit Xanax pills, 1 pound of fentanyl. Oh my God, a pound. I'm really getting bombarded by pets here. What's going on, Rocco? Anyway. So over 135 pounds of counterfeit Xanax pills, 1 pound of fentanyl, and over 250 grams of cocaine were part of a long list of seizures from police search warrants. The estimated street value of these dangerous drugs is more than $1,027,000.
That's sad that there's counterfeit Xanax.
Again, like people who are abusing prescription pills, they start getting desperate on where they're going to get them. You mean, it's just addiction is a very dangerous thing.
Ugly.
Mm-hmm.
Police provided a list of what was seized during the search warrants. So you had 135.13 pounds of pressed counterfeit Xanax in three different colors, 1 pound fentanyl located next to Xanax station and most likely used in the pills. So again, fentanyl probably in the Xanax pills. Yep,
don't know what you're getting.
1 pound counterfeit Adderall, but tested positive for methamphetamine.
Oh my gosh.
25.3 grams of methamphetamine pills, 77 narcotics pills, 250.7 grams of cocaine, 524 grams of THC wax, 4 pounds of THC candies. Oh my God, 212 grams of psilocybin infused chocolate, 4 handguns. With 2 different high capacity magazines and 1 drum magazine with 51 rounds located in it. Oh. 1 rifle with 603 rounds of 22 ammunition, 186 rounds of 9mm, 198 rounds 45 caliber, $5,953, automated pill press with professional mixer, 385 pounds of inert materials needed to make the counterfeit Xanax, and thousands of USPS boxes ready to mail his product.
Oh my God.
Wow. So do they get them on what, mail? Yes. Mail fraud or what is, well, no, I mean, that's a thing.
No, no, they, mail, I mean,
like they can get you they, that way.
What is it?
It would definitely be a federal crime to be using crossing a federal agency, yeah, exactly, for illegal purposes.
Yeah, well, I think it started with like a vehicle warrant and then led to a residence warrant, which led them to the storage unit, which led them to the findings.
And this was La Crosse?
Yeah.
La Crosse. Gosh, I mean, for
and it's got a picture. I'm going to have to see this. It's got a picture of like the cat, like what they found.
Stuff, yeah.
The cash. I'm going to have to save a picture of that.
But they're also saying, you know, that Minnesota was pretty far, and La Crosse isn't that far from Minneapolis.
All right. Yeah, so
which was another hub, if you will, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So next one I got is from July 21st of 2022. It says Fond du Lac drug bust total more than $100,000. So again, we're touching like all over the state. This isn't just one area. This is all over the place.
Well, and it's not just the big cities.
Yeah.
You know, it's not Milwaukee. It's not Madison.
Yeah.
I mean,
branching
in
out.
Addition, I guess I should say.
Branching out into the suburban and rural areas. All right, Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. Some recent traffic stops in Fond du Lac County have resulted in major drug busts. In the last month, there have been at least six, finding more than $100,000 worth of drugs. The latest happened Tuesday. Investigators say the driver actually threw thousands of fentanyl-laced pills out of the car, which that scares me because then that stuff's on the side of the road. Deputies were chasing after that fleeing vehicle when investigators say the driver threw those pills and cocaine into the road. The sheriff's office says the suspect drove the entire length of the county before crashing. Tuesday night, deputies tried pulling a driver over for an unsafe lane change when the car took off. As it was speeding away, investigators say the driver tried ditching his stash. He threw out cocaine, and also there were 2,500 counterfeit oxycodone pills that were laced with fentanyl, said Captain Bill Tadick. A deputy stopped to pick it up, finding $80,000 worth of drugs. It eventually crashed, and the driver was arrested. In
I
last
wonder if that $80,000, like, based on sale or $80,000 before sale. Like,
it's hard to say because I tried to see if I could find, like, a
I
way.
I feel like
to
they usually say street value.
Yeah,
It's like complicated how they determine the value though, because like I tried to figure out a way to make an easy calculation based on like what they're finding or like how much they seize, but it's not easy. Like there's like a formula to it. I wouldn't be able to do it. So, but it says in the last month, deputies have found everything from fentanyl-laced pills, cocaine, and guns to large amounts of marijuana. It's not only coming from the metropolitan areas, it's in our community, and we don't want drugs here, said Tadick. He says the unusually high amount of busts are happening in part because of the deputies, the sheriff's office work, and the drug task force, and the county's proximity to three major cities. Deputies don't want drugs to pass through here. They're ready to make more stops. We know there's a drug problem in Wisconsin, and we're going to continue to tackle that, said Tadick. Investigators are trying to connect the dots to see if any of these drug cases are related. It says a 28-year-old man from Racine faces multiple felony charges related to Tuesday's case.
Well, good on that DEA, like drug task force out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when like you think about it in major cities, you don't think of it in smaller cities like that, but it's happening everywhere.
Well, speaking of smaller cities, here's another one. So this was from a Fox 11 News. This is, and it's from July 28th of this year. So the headline is Fox Valley drug bust nets 16 pounds of meth cocaine. Appleton. Officials are moving forward in a large drug trafficking investigation as they arrested several people Wednesday after discovering approximately 16 pounds of illegal drugs. The Appleton Police Department, joined by four other local departments, served six search warrants Wednesday in Appleton and Grand Chute. The warrants were part of a larger investigation involving illegal drug trafficking in the Fox Valley, according to the Lake Winnebago Area Metropolitan Enforcement Group. Officials discovered approximately 16 pounds of methamphetamine and cocaine. Along with the drugs, officials seized 9 guns, 3 vehicles, and an undisclosed amount of money. The drugs are estimated to value up to $200,000. No one has been charged as of Thursday. The investigation is still ongoing. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of the drug cases are often ongoing because they're always trying to make connections to the source.
Right. The big fish.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The person above the supervisor.
Right. The person ahead of the supervisory role.
Yeah. So here we get closer and closer to current times. And a lot of these places are places that I would say are small places, unfortunately. All right. So it's from wearegreenbay.com. And this was from October 10th of this year. So Hanson, Wisconsin. Multiple people were arrested in central Wisconsin after authorities executed 5 search warrants and reportedly found drugs, guns, and currency. The Wood County Sheriff's Office posted on its Facebook page about a recent drug bust that happened on October 6th. 5 search warrants were executed in the town of Hanson and the village of Vesper. Ever heard of any of those?
I've not.
Yeah.
A large quantity of methamphetamine, cocaine, and heroin were taken from the residences. United States currency, as well as firearms, were also taken. There was reportedly a heavy police presence during the early mornings of October 6th. The following people were arrested. 55-year-old John Anderegen, 31-year-old Kristen Van Ert, 30-year-old Crystal Volk, 42-year-old John Brogan, 28-year-old Stephanie Bennett, 54-year-old Mark Rice, and 67-year-old Patricia Cooter.
Damn, 67, Patricia, get your shit together.
Cooter?
Sure. K-U-T-E-R.
Sorry, that's struck my funny bone. Trish Cooter.
She looks like a rough 67. I'm just gonna put it
rode hard and put away wet, as my dad would say.
I mean, like somebody who makes meth. Okay. All 7 were taken into custody for varying criminal charges that reportedly depend on the individual's involvement in the investigation. Some of the charges include manufacturing and delivery of methamphetamine, repeat offender, possession with intent methamphetamine, repeat offender, possession of cocaine, possession of THC, possession of heroin, maintain drug trafficking residence, possession of drug paraphernalia, child neglect, resisting and obstructing arrest, felon in possession of a firearm. And it says multiple agencies in central Wisconsin assisted with the arrests. No additional information was provided. And that really pisses me off that a child could have been exposed to that type of environment.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, you also have to wonder if, like, the younger, wasn't there like a 28-year-old? That 28-year-old could be the kid of one of the older people, too.
Yeah.
That younger person has their own. Sad though. Can't be that repeat offender. Boy, it's like, I think that, like, we need to rehab these people somehow so that they don't keep having it.
How
over and over and over.
Here's a short one. This is from October 18th, Stevens Point. 7 WSAW-TV. Complaints lead to drug investigation for arrests in Stevens Point. Says 4 people were arrested and remain in the Portage County Jail following an investigation into drug trafficking in the city of Stevens Point. On Friday, October 14th, members of the Stevens Point Police Department, Portage County Sheriff's Department, Plover Police Department, and Central Wisconsin Drug Task Force conducted an investigation based on recent complaints within the city. Items seized include 65.11 grams of methamphetamine, 13.23 grams of cocaine, 14.58 grams of THC, 12 alprazolam pills,
Alprazolam.
It's a downer.
Okay. 1 hydrocodone pill, 3 suboxone strips, several items used to manufacture and sell narcotics, and 1 9mm handgun.
Authorities, I believe, also that suboxone is one of the medications that they give, like methadone, I think. Mm-hmm.
Authorities also seized $2,182. And those arrested, we say Joshua Hastley, 43, Terrell Hintz, 47, Eric Eves, 43, and Taiwan Harris, 32, are all facing multiple charges. Police say complaints from the public spurred the investigation, ultimately leading to the arrests.
Nice.
So.
Keep complaining, public. Gotta do it.
So we're actually going back to lacrosse. So while we were all preparing for Thanksgiving, I actually have two articles dated from November 23rd of 2022. This one is from La Crosse Tribune. It says, welfare check leads to drug bust in La Crosse. And these are my last two articles here. So police who responded to a November 19th welfare check recovered a substantial amount of illegal drugs, according to a criminal complaint filed Tuesday in La Crosse County Circuit Court. Isaac M. Santana, 25, La Crosse, was charged in La Crosse County Circuit Court with felony counts of possession of methamphetamine with intent to deliver, possession of fentanyl with intent to deliver, and possession of an electric weapon, and misdemeanor counts of possession of marijuana and possession of drug paraphernalia.
I bet he's pissed at whoever decided to do a welfare check on him.
Right. Oh, well, this is kind of his own fault. According to the complaint, a cab driver alerted La Crosse police around 4:30 a.m. to a vehicle that had been running for three straight hours on the 1000 block of 7th Street South. Police approached the vehicle and found a man, later identified as Santana, reclined in the driver's seat. Police were able to get Santana's attention, and he complied with a police order to roll down to the window and turn off the vehicle. Police immediately detected the odor of marijuana, and dispatch confirmed that Santana was a convicted felon.
Okay, I was thinking it was like a relative that had him.
Yeah, he kind of brought it upon himself.
Yeah.
Santana complied with an order to exit the vehicle. Police searched the vehicle and allegedly found 33.4 grams of fentanyl, 193 grams of methamphetamine, 3.5 grams of marijuana, six THC pens, a marijuana grinder, an electronic scale, an electronic control device, and $1,510 in cash. Ooh, the complaint says Santana admitted to being a heavy user of methamphetamine and heroin, but denied any intent to sell the seized drugs, which, okay.
Well, heavy of a user, so I'm going to say probably not. But it would be a way lighter charge if you don't have the distribution charge, so.
Yeah, I think if he
used, I suppose.
If he used the drugs he had, he would kill himself.
Yeah.
Judge Todd Burke Monday ordered Santana held on a $10,000 cash bond. Burke rejected a request Wednesday from Santana to have the bond reduced. Okay. Santana faces a maximum of 76 years in prison if convicted on all charges.
Wow. And
has another bond hearing set for November 29th and a preliminary hearing set for December 2nd.
Not going to be a very good end to his year.
No, that's for sure. All right, last story that I'm going to share for this year, again, on November 23rd, because apparently people have nothing better to do ahead of Thanksgiving.
Like, seriously, just last week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We are greenbay.com. So it says major drug arrest in Wisconsin, 7 pounds of drugs and over $50,000 in alleged drug money seized. And this is Juneau, Wisconsin. Three people in Wisconsin were arrested after an investigation recovered pounds of drugs and alleged drug money, all of which reportedly tie back to the Mexican drug cartels, as it seems they all do. According to the Drug County Sheriff's Office, on November 22nd, around 12 p.m., a search warrant was conducted at 422 South Fairfield Avenue, apartment number 1 in Juneau. Authorities say that pounds of drugs and alleged drug money were seized. The following items were reportedly found: 4.9 pounds of methamphetamine, 2.1 pounds of marijuana, $51,907 in alleged drug money, two vehicles used in commission of felonies. And it says three people were arrested as a result of the investigation. They had 40-year-old Francisco Javier Gonzalez Diaz arrested for possession with intent to deliver more than 50 grams of methamphetamine, possession with intent to deliver marijuana, 200 grams to 1,000 grams, maintaining a drug trafficking place, possession of drug paraphernalia, 3 counts, manufacture, deliver methamphetamine. And then we had 34-year-old Caleb Renhold charged with maintaining drug trafficking place, and 51-year-old Raul De La Garza, 3 counts manufactured, deliver methamphetamine, warrant arrest, failure to appear, possession of drug paraphernalia. So he already had an arrest warrant where he failed to appear. Ugh, such nice people. Yeah, I think that's part of the thing with the drug stuff, though, is they have so many different things they can charge you with because they don't want you getting out of it. Authorities said that.
Like state court, man. They don't mess around in federal court. So those judges are not
true that. Yeah, that's another level. Yeah.
Says authorities said that the investigation revealed drug ties directly back to the Mexican drug cartels. In the post, Dodge County Sheriff's Office says it is very concerned that these drugs are having a direct impact on drug use and overdoses in Wisconsin. Quote, the Dodge County Sheriff's Office, in collaboration with all police agencies in Dodge County, will continue to pursue these deadly drugs and dealers. We are very proud of the exemplary work of our entire team as they have been making significant impacts with drug arrests. Unfortunately, until something is done to cut off the source of these drugs at the southern border, it will be a difficult uphill battle for our law enforcement efforts in Dodge County. So no additional information was provided. Local 5 will continue to update this story if more details are released. So this is very fresh. But yeah, it is interesting though too, because like a lot of these articles have pictures of like the drugs and the money like seized, and it's just crazy the way that they like line it all up. And this one in particular was pretty high on the drug money that was seized. So it's got a lot of cash in there. But yeah, so that was actually 8 different stories or articles that I was able to find just in this year. And I'm sure there are even more, but obviously I can't do all of them. But I mean, it's a reality check for us in Wisconsin.
Yeah. Our little state, our little cheese state.
Yeah, here, you know, we just want to keep to our beer cheese and, you know, a little bit of murder.
Minus the murder. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm going to try and say, how am I going to do this? So I've heard stories, let's put it that way, that, of a certain, anywho, I know.
I don't know if I'm going to get in trouble with this or if I can actually say it,
but there was a fire on the north side of Milwaukee. This was a couple of years ago. And in the basement ceiling of grandma's house, so grandson was living in grandma's house in the basement, and in the ceiling tiles, where the fire was. So the firefighters had to poke through, and all of a sudden stacks of cash. Like,
oh my goodness.
You were talking about like how the pictures and how it looks and wow. Oh yeah. Just loads of money are falling out. And they're like, what the hell? Cause this grandma is living in poverty.
Yeah.
Upstairs. So they're like,
who's the piece of shit grandchild that doesn't at least take better care of grandma?
Yeah.
Especially when he's living in our basement.
Right?
Yep. Oh, yeah. Well, has anyone watched The Wire from like 10 years ago? Well, not 10 years ago, maybe 5 years ago. No. Oh, you must watch. There's, I don't know, several different seasons. But one of them is about drugs. In I think Boston it was set in. Boston, New Jersey, I don't know. But it talks about like the game. Like you're in the game and you can't get out of the game. And like these people are making millions of dollars, but living like they're, I mean, not necessarily poverty, but it's so bizarre. But that was, like you're saying, a clear picture of what this situation was here in Milwaukee.
I mean,
yeah. So grandson apparently was a drug dealer and shoving money up in the rafters or the, and fire happens at the house and,
sorry, buddy, lost all your cash.
Yeah, so I forgot what I heard might have been like counted out or whatever, but it was like $250,000, like just
crazy
and wrapped. I want to say it was like wrapped in saran wrap and yeah, like something you see in the movies. Yeah, crazy.
Well, it is a sad reality for today and for those that aren't involved in that whole scene. It's something that it's easy to like kind of forget about, or not forget about, but to not think about. So it is a bit of a reality check that that is definitely a problem in Wisconsin as well as many other places in the country. And it seemed, I feel like COVID almost made it worse, to be honest.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Sure.
But
people are looking for alternative ways to, one, cope, two,
yeah,
get money,
de-stress. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it is time for a high note.
Yeah, give me that.
So I am sharing with the podcast the Winter Festival at the Kickapoo Valley Reserve, January 7th, 2023. So we're starting to look into next year. All right. So it says Kickapoo Valley Winter Festival. Winter Festival is a wonderful family event that highlights outdoor winter activities. Activities may include sledding, skiing, snow sculpture, ice hikes, wildlife talks and hikes, face painting, horse-drawn bobsled rides, snowshoe exhibit, sled dog demonstrations. It says bring your child and your dog and try out the Mutt Fun Dog Sled Run. Conquer the snow mountain and snow tunnel. Test your skills at the snow snake competition. Night winter activities can include stargazing and candlelight snowshoe hike.
Nice. So, where is Kickapoo? I know I've heard of it. I can't place it.
Let's see here. It's Lafarge, Wisconsin.
Okay, that doesn't quite help.
I know, right?
There used to be a gas station called Kickapoo near my...
Yeah, maybe that's why it sounds familiar. It was a gas station.
It was a gas station in Madison.
Let's see here. So it is... it's up there. Oh, it's actually not that far from Madison, I don't think. Maybe a little bit. Let's see. Let's see. It says it's 3 hours from here. Let's see, Madison.
You can't be that close to Madison. Anything that close to Madison, I would think it would have hurt.
All right. Well, it's about 2 hours from Madison. I guess it's all relative. Okay. When you're zooming out on the map. So it's closer to the western border of Wisconsin. It's actually not that far from La Crosse. Okay. It looks like it's fairly close to Viroqua, which we have talked about a few times on the podcast. So that kind of gives you an idea of where that is. So it's more western Wisconsin in terms of location, but it definitely sounds like an interesting winter festival activity. It's got some fun pictures on there. So I think there's like ice castles. I know that you can also do that. I think
Lake Geneva.
I think Lake Geneva has ice castles. But
did you guys get there last year? Or was that just Terry and Kayla?
Just Terry and Kayla, I think. We didn't go.
I had bought tickets and then they were for March and it got too warm in March. So it got canceled.
Yeah. So anybody who is interested and partaking in some fun winter outdoor activities, it sounds like the Winter Festival is place to be in Kickapoo Valley. So, and if nothing else, it's going to be fun to say Kickapoo Valley. Also, it's got chili contest. It's the 5K for those crazy people that like to run in the cold. So, lots of fun things to participate. I mean, if you're going to have an outside festival in the middle of January, there better be chili.
True that.
No doubt.
Chili and some booze.
Yes. I'm sure there's going to be alcohol. It is Wisconsin. Just make sure you don't binge drink. So. Right.
Long drive from here, so gotta be careful with that.
Yes, absolutely. But yeah, I think it would be fun just going for like a horse-drawn bobsled ride. That sounds like fun. So
yeah.
But yeah, all right. So that is our high note. So there is Winter Festival, and that's something to look forward to at the start of next year already, as we are getting down to the end of the year. But that is what I had for today's episode. A little different than how we normally roll in terms of our episode structure. But I think that at some point we had to acknowledge the elephant in the room that is drugs in Wisconsin.
Yes. Interesting. Sorry, if anybody, I hope you can't hear it in the background. My cat is going ballistic with her little toy. It's a ball and it goes around in a plastic thing, and she's just going ballistic playing with it right now. So I keep trying to mute myself. So hearing that, that's what's happening. But yeah, I mean, interesting to think about our, you know, I just think of Wisconsin as farmland, boring, yeah. You know, all this like big city, big state stuff happens here, like you would get in Illinois, like Chicago or LA, California, or, you know, places like that. So even like Seattle or something, it's just crazy to realize.
Yeah, it's a harsh reality, and it seems that it's only getting worse over time. So, you know, the best thing that we can do for ourselves is to educate ourselves on the fact that it is here, and that it is a reality, and to look out for it and be aware. If you see something, say something.
I was literally just thinking that. If you see something, say something.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So, but hopefully next episode we'll get back to our usual for those that are missing the murder from today's episode.
And also people
missing the murder.
Continue to write in and give us suggestions of any cases that you're interested in hearing about.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. So definitely give us some suggestions and some ideas. We'd be happy to oblige and provide some information. So it's plenty to choose from in Wisconsin, it seems.
I've been catching a few of the Wisconsin cases that we've covered on like 48 hours and a few of those lately where I happen to fall upon it. I'm like, oh, this was our case. We did this one.
So yeah,
they just did the one, was it Kelly Dwyer, where the guy went to the cheese castle?
Oh yeah.
So I just watched the Kelly Dwyer one, where she disappeared on the east side, Jill, and
That was the Lululemon one.
Cheese castle to get like one lump of cheese for somebody rather than just
going anywhere. I forgot about that. Yeah.
I just watched that the other day.
Wow. And that was on what show?
It was on either Dateline or 48 Hours.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I'll have to see if I can find it, if they've got it in the podcast form. But anyway.
I can give you the episode because I DVR them so that they're.
Yeah.
Like I add them to my list on Hulu so I can tell you which episode it is so it'll be easier to search.
Yeah. All right. Well, for everybody that's listening, thank you for tuning in and sticking with us. And I hope you like the content and keep listening. If you don't, let us know or keep it to yourself. Or
yeah, if you don't tough shit.
If you don't,
I wasn't expecting that from you, but I want to yell at
her. If you don't like it, you don't have to listen to it. I mean, there's right? like a ton of other true crime shows to listen to. But anyway, but I hope you like it. And you know, if you have ideas on how we can improve or different stories that we can do, definitely let us know. Feel free, follow us on Instagram, send us a message. There's multiple ways to reach us, so just let us know, keep us posted, and keep listening. So until next time, eat, drink, and be wary. Thank you for listening to Beer, Cheese, and Murder. We would like to also thank the references that make this podcast possible. A full list of references can be found on our website at beercheeseandmurderpodcast.com. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at beercheeseandmurderpod, where pictures from today's episode are available for your viewing. If you would like to share your feedback, WISCO facts, case suggestions, stories, or just whatever, please email us at contact@beercheeseandmurderpodcast.com. Don't forget to tell your friends, but most importantly, until next time, eat, drink, and be wary.